This morning we are talking about everything begins with prayer. How many of you believe that? Everything begins with prayer. You know, there's a story about little six-year-old Bobby who was sitting with his dad one evening, and he told his dad, he said, "Dad, could I get a pet?" And his father said, "Well, no, Bobby, not right now." He said, "But maybe if you pray for 2 months, God might bring you a little brother." Well, so Bobby was really excited about that, and he began praying every day for a little brother. But after a month, Bobby started getting a little tired of praying, and he decided that, you know, this is just too long. I'm just going to, whatever comes may. Well, 2 months later, Bobby was so surprised when his dad brought him into the room and introduced him to his new little brother. And then his dad slowly pulled back the blanket, and Bobby saw not one, but two little brothers. And his father looked at Bobby and he said, "Now, Bobby, aren't you glad you prayed?" And Bobby said, "Yes, but aren't you glad I stopped when I did?" You know, it's interesting because when we learn to pray from a very young age, don't we? We learn about praying to Jesus and bringing our thoughts and our needs to Him, even from a child. And we learn that prayer is important in our lives. And really, prayer, everything begins with prayer. We pray and we say, "Lord," we get up in the morning and we ask God to be with us through the day. We get in our cars and we ask God to be with us as we're going to drive. And when we come to church, we ask God to be with us through our service. When we have meetings, we will have prayer to start the meeting off. And we pray before we make big decisions, well, most of the time. But you see, prayer seems to be a very intricate part of life. But the question that I want to ask you this morning as we begin is, does all of that prayer really mean that you have an actual communion with God, that you have an actual experience and an actual conversation with Him that actually takes you to the throne of grace and you are actually in the very presence of God when you talk with Him? What is your prayer life really like this morning? You know, we are living in the final hours of Earth's history. We talk about it so often. And isn't it important that we understand how vital prayer is in the life of God's people, those who profess to be His followers, how important it is that prayer is a very part of our life, that we understand that prayer is the key that unlocks the door to heaven's storehouse, that we understand that prayer is the thing that will unbind the arm of God and allow Him to move for His people, that we understand that prayer is the very breath of the soul. But you see, along with that, we also need to understand that wouldn't it seem logical that in these final hours of Earth's history, that the devil, who is always creating counterfeits for whatever God does that is good, wouldn't it seem logical that he would try to come up with a counterfeit to the kind of prayer we need so that we are confused and perhaps even taking the wrong direction in our prayer life? This morning, I've asked the deacons if they would pass out a handout. We haven't done this in a while, and you know, there was a lot of thoughts that I wanted to share with you today, and I just want to go through a few of them as we carry on. These are a few thoughts from Scripture and a few quotes from inspiration. And I happen to say that I think it's very important. Pastor Finley said once before, I think the two books are the two things that we should be studying the most are the Bible and the Spirit of Prophecy. I don't think there's anything wrong with looking at some other book once in a while, but I believe that we have all the information we need in those two sources that will enable us to be able to stand in the final hours of Earth's history. Everything begins with prayer. I want you to just really beginning to put that in your mind, because it's not just about that you pray before you get in your car. It's not just about that you say a prayer before you eat or before you come into church. It's what it's really about is whether or not you are actually having the communion with God that you need that will strengthen you to be able to stand in these last hours, that you will not be deceived. They're almost there. We're going to begin by just looking at a few verses that I think are important for us to remember this morning. And the reason why I like doing a handout once in a while like this is so that you can take it home and look a little more deeply into the topic And you have a few references to kind of get that started for you. Has everybody got one now? Anybody missing one? Good, everybody's got one. So let's move quickly because it's 5 to 12 in a two-hour sermon. That'll make it 5 to 2. So we need to move along. Psalm 65 and verse 2. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall what? All flesh come. All of us need to be going to God in prayer. And as we look further, it says in Philippians 4, 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So in other words, everything begins with prayer. Psalms 28, verse 9, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. Now, this is where we start getting into the critical stage and where we need to understand, because if we're not walking in harmony with the law of God, and we may be praying to the ceiling rather than actually being going to the courts of heaven. We want to understand that we need to be praying according to God's will and be striving to live our lives in harmony with His will for us. Matthew 21:22 said, in all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, what? Believing ye shall receive. And we know that believing is much more than just acknowledging that He exists. Believing means that I have a response and I know that He is my Lord and Savior again, so that I want to be in harmony and obedient to His will. Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. So the fact that we pray for all of these things is good, because in all of these things we are acknowledging that God is our Creator, He is our Protector, He is our Savior, He is our Lord. So the more often that we pray, the more we are acknowledging. But we don't want prayer to just become some little ritual that we do every time we get in a car, every time we sit down to eat. We want to make sure that as we pray for that meal, that it's not just that pat thing I say every day, that I'm really recognizing that truly it is God that provides for my needs. Ephesians chapter 6 and 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all what? Perseverance and supplication for all saints. We should not only be praying for ourselves, but we should be praying for others, just like we did this morning to begin our service. But we should also be doing it with perseverance, pursuing after God's will for us and for those we love. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Remember, Jesus told his disciples many times to watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. So along with praying, we need to be watching. All right, a couple of thoughts, and these are steps to Christ. That the chapter on prayer, the privilege of prayer and steps to Christ, is one of my favorite chapters. You know, it was one of those where, you remember we talked about highlighting? As I go into that chapter, I find that it's all highlighted, and then because some things kept seeming more and more, I started underlining in red, and it's almost all in red now. So, okay, Steps to Christ, page 93. In order to have spiritual life and energy, we must have actual intercourse with our Heavenly Father. Our minds may be drawn out toward Him. We may meditate upon His works, His mercies, His blessings, but this is not, in the fullest sense, communing with Him. In order to commune with God, we must have something to say to Him concerning our actual life. Now, that's an important thing for you to remember as we go on through this message this morning. I'm going to say that one more time. In order to commune with God, we must have something to say to Him concerning our actual life. Prayer is the opening of the heart to God as to a friend. You know, I was reading one of the things about a friend of Martin Luther's who was listening to him pray one time. And he said, as I listened to him pray, I was in awe, because he was so reverent in his prayer. He was so humble in his prayer, yet he was so bold as he approached the throne. In one sense, he was talking humbly like a servant to a king, but in the other sense, he was so close that it was like he was talking to a friend. And that's the way we need to approach our Heavenly Father, isn't it? We need to have reverence when we go before God, recognizing who He is and also knowing that He loves us so much, He's like a friend. He wants to help and care for us. Not that it is necessary in order to make known to God what we are, but in order to enable us to receive Him. Prayer does not bring God down to us, but brings us up to Him. Prayer is the breath of the soul. This is Messages to Young People 249 and 50. Prayer is the breath of the soul. It is the secret of spiritual power. Joni lit the light over here. Those lights wouldn't go on, the ones that worked. They wouldn't go on if she hadn't plugged them in, would they? We have to be connected to the source of all power of life, and prayer is the secret of spiritual power. No other means of grace can be substituted and the health of the soul be preserved. Prayer brings the heart into immediate contact with the wellspring of life and strengthens the sinew and muscle of the religious experience. Neglect the exercise of prayer or engage in prayer spasmodically now and then as seems convenient, and you will lose your hold on God. Did you hear that? If you engage in prayer spasmodically, if you're only praying little prayers when you get in the car, when you go to the meeting, before you eat, then you may lose your hold on God. We need to be taking the time to talk with Him. The spiritual faculties lose their vitality. The religious experience lacks health and vigor if we do not pray. Steps to Christ again, these last two. Our Heavenly Father waits to bestow upon us the fullness of His blessing. It is our privilege to drink largely at the fountain of boundless love. What a wonder it is that we pray so little. God is ready and willing to hear the sincere prayer of the humblest of His children, and yet there is much manifest reluctance on our part to make known our wants to God. What can the angels of heaven think of poor, helpless human beings who are subject to temptation when God's heart of infinite love yearns toward them, ready to give them more than they can ask or think, and yet they pray so little and have so little faith? And finally, this last one, and this is important again as we think about the times in which we live. The darkness of the evil one encloses those who neglect to pray. The whispered temptations of the enemy entice them to sin, and it is all because they do not make use of the privileges that God has given them in the divine appointment of prayer. Why should the sons and daughters of God be reluctant to pray when prayer is the key in the hand of faith to unlock heaven's storehouse, where are treasured the boundless resources of omnipotence? Without unceasing prayer and diligent watching, we are in danger of growing careless and of deviating from the right path. So, our handouts, they give us a brief illustration today of the importance of prayer in the life and experience of the Christian. But the adversary has worked diligently, as we mentioned, to confuse men and present a counterfeit that, if possible, even the very what? Even the very elect would be deceived. And remember when we talked a few months back about the emerging church, we talked about certain things that a grounded Seventh-day Adventist Christian would not simply fall for. One of them would be the immortality of the soul, and the other would be the Seventh-day Sabbath. But if the devil begins to weave his way into your own personal devotional life and begins to make you think that you are taking a path for a greater relationship with Him, when in fact you are actually drifting off of the path and starting to follow more paganistic ways, then you are going to find yourself out of the will of God. As a Christian church is constantly trying to understand how to reach out to this postmodern world, the emerging church continues to become more and more prominent, and we begin to see these new views on prayer. Now, I say new views, but I say that, and you'll see what I want to mean a little later. Again, we must remember that for every good thing God has given man, Satan has a counterfeit. And remember this, it's important to remember that the counterfeit looks good, it sounds good, and it appeals most importantly to our senses. Now, Pastor Press told us this morning that God speaks to you through your what? Your senses, your five senses. So we need to make sure that we are guarding our senses. Amen? Because the devil can also speak to you through your senses. You remember that if it looks good, it sounds good, if it feels good, just do it. Remember those statements? But the reality is so often that's how we operate. Rather than on a thus saith the Lord, rather on knowing what God's word says, we go by the way we feel. And we have to be very careful because our feelings can deceive us. In an era where experience is more valuable than reason and truth has become relative, if we are not grounded on the Word of God, then we could find ourselves following a path that in reality is leading us away from God. As always, any new light must not contradict old light, and it must be in harmony with the Word of God. Say it with me. Isaiah 8 and verse 20 says, "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." Now this morning as we move forward, there are a couple of terms that I want you to understand. And I know most of you are probably familiar with them. But they are terms that we see starting to blend and come into the church. And by the way, not just the Seventh-day Adventist church, but the Christian church at large, these things are starting to come in. The two things that I want you to consider this morning are the terms contemplative prayer or contemplative prayer and also centering prayer. Contemplative prayer is not just contemplating while you pray, because the Bible instructs us to contemplate or to think, to use our mind when we pray. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:15, he says that we must pray with understanding. Now, it's important that we understand that because there's nothing wrong with contemplating. We need to understand what contemplate means. Contemplate means to look at or view with continued attention. Observe or study thoughtfully, to consider thoroughly, to think fully or deeply about. So contemplating is actually a good thing. But you see, the term contemplative or contemplative prayer has taken on a different meaning. Praying with your mind is not what contemplative prayer has come to mean. Contemplative prayer has slowly increased in practice and popularity along with the rise of the emerging church. And this prayer, contemplative prayer, begins with centering prayer. Centering prayer is a meditative practice where the practitioner focuses on a word or phrase and repeats that word over and over for the duration of the exercise. Well, what's the purpose? The purpose is to clear his mind of all outside concerns so that God's voice may be more easily heard. After the centering prayer, the practitioner then sits still and listens for direct guidance from God and longs to feel his presence. Now, that sounds pretty good, actually, doesn't it? You think, well, I think it's important that I don't have a bunch of rubbish in my mind before I sit down. How many of you have gone to pray and in the middle of your prayer, all of a sudden you've started thinking about, oh, I left the iron on. Oh, I should have done this. Oh, I need to do that. We get distracted, don't we? So it is important when we pray to make sure that we're focusing. Isn't it interesting that the Bible tells us and inspiration tells us that we should be praying out loud? Not in the hearing of everyone else, but to God alone. You know why you pray out loud? When you're praying out loud, when you're talking and voicing, verbally voicing your thoughts, your mind doesn't wander like it does when you're quiet. And you're thinking your thoughts. Because it's got to make that mouth operate. And so it's focusing on what you're saying and what you're doing. It's important that we remember that. But when we look at this centering prayer, we want to realize that what it's doing is not actually getting us to focus and concentrate, but rather it's getting us to empty our minds. Is it good that we empty our minds? You know, you've heard people say, I have an open mind. Well, I have an open mind, but I don't want to lose what's in there. So I'm going to keep it closed to certain things. Although this might sound like an innocent exercise, it is a type of prayer that has no scriptural support whatsoever. In fact, it is just the opposite of what we read earlier and how the Bible and inspiration tell us that we should be praying. Remember, the Bible says in Philippians 4:6, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And then John 16, 23 and 24, in that day you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you receive and your joy will be complete. These verses and others clearly portray to us the importance of how to pray. You see, contemplative prayer by design focuses on having a mystical experience with God. Mysticism, however, is purely subjective and does not rely upon truth or fact. Remember, we are living in the postmodern era where now truth has become relative. You have your truth, I have my truth. There is no standard that we go by in the postmodern world. Yet the Word of God has been given to us for this very purpose, so that we can base our faith and our lives on truth. That's what the Word of God is for. 2 Timothy 3:16, remember it says what? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be what? Perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You see, it's important that we understand truth. It's important that we realize that truth isn't relative, that God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Truth is always going to be the same. It never changes. Contemplative prayer Contemplative prayer is no different than the meditative exercises used in Eastern religions and New Age cults. Its most vocal supporters embrace an open spirituality among adherents from all religions, promoting the idea that salvation is gained by many paths, even though Christ himself stated that salvation comes only through him. John 14:6, what does he say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men what? Whereby we must be saved. Jesus said several times in John chapter 6, I am the what? The bread of life. Brothers and sisters, the Bible gives us without a doubt the clarity of what truth is. And the Bible also gives us very clear instructions on how we are to pray and how our prayer should go. So let's go back to our text for today. Luke chapter 11, and let's look at our verses for today as Jesus gave us the illustration of prayer through the Lord's Prayer. And I noticed today that when Hector was reading, now this is not, you know, the actual complete Lord's Prayer is in Matthew chapter 6. And I noticed you all appeared a little disappointed when it ended before we got to the, for then is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So what we're going to do is we're going to give you an opportunity to do that, but I want to go here and look at what it says at the beginning of chapter 11 in Luke. It's really verse 1 that I want us to look at, and then we'll go look at the actual Lord's Prayer in Matthew so we can say the whole thing together. But it says, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place. Now, the first thing I want you to always remember and ask yourself this question, do I have a certain place that I go to pray? A time where I have a place that I go, it's my meeting place, my meeting time with God. You know, I can't remember the name of the pastor, but I was looking at another statement. He said, if I ever want to humble a man, he said, the first question I'll ask him is, how's his prayer life? The simple reality is most of us, pretty much all of us, pray less than we should. And so this is important for us today. Jesus had a place and a time that he always spent with his heavenly Father. It says that when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. So first of all, we need to understand that there's always safety in the Word of God. And if we want to know how to pray, have you ever prayed with a new believer and they've said, you know, I really don't know how to pray? Isn't it good news to know that all they've got to do is go look in Scripture and they can learn how to pray the most fervent prayer? They can learn how to pray the things that are important for them. And now let's go to Matthew and let's look at Jesus' prayer. Go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and beginning in verse 9. And let's all read this together through verse 13 is the prayer. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. Since we're all going to read together, let me hear an amen when you get there. Amen. Now, good news, this sermon's not going to be 2 hours. Here, I thought it would. We're over halfway done. Whew. You'll get to eat today. All right, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. Follow with me. Let's read it together. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, you know, Jesus did not teach his disciples that prayer so that was the only prayer they ever prayed. Jesus taught his disciples that prayer because that prayer, simple as it is, and hear me now, that prayer, simple as it is one of the most comprehensive prayers in all of Scripture. That prayer literally covers every area that you need covered in your life. But what Jesus wants us to understand is that when we come to God, we not only praise Him, we not only lift our petitions up to Him, we not only ask Him for power, we not only ask for forgiveness, and we not only give Him the glory and the honor for the things that He has done in our lives, but He lets us know by coming to this prayer, by sharing this example to us, that we can find the source of power that we need in our lives through communication with our Heavenly Father. He wants us to understand clearly what it means to encounter God through the power of prayer. Our High Calling, page 130. Christ did not give this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, for men to repeat as a form. He gave it as an illustration of what our prayers should be, simple, earnest, and comprehensive. Many prayers are offered without faith. A set form of words is used, but there is no real importunity. These prayers are doubtful, hesitating. They bring no relief to those who offer them, and no comfort or hope to others. The form of prayer is used, but the spirit is wanting, showing that the petitioner does not feel his need. Learn to pray short and right to the point, asking for just what you need. Learn to pray aloud where only God can hear you. Do not offer make-believe prayers, but earnest feeling petitions expressing the hunger of the soul for the bread of life. And you know, it's one of those sermons, and those of you that preach, you know how it goes. Sometimes when you preach, I remember, Hector, you remember when we took that homiletics course from Dr. Larson? We're all panicking on that first sermon that we were going to give. And he told us, he said, I need to tell you something before you start. He said, first of all, once you start researching your subject, the problem's not going to be finding enough material to fill your slot. The problem is going to be honing it down to where you don't keep people there for 2 hours. So see, I've honed it down a little bit because you're not going to be here for 2 hours. But I do want to share with you two more thoughts on this same thing. This is That I May Know Him, page 260. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, and he often urged upon them the necessity of prayer. Prayer is not only a privilege, but is prayer a necessity? You better believe prayer is a necessity. He did not bid them to study books to learn a form of prayer. They were not to offer prayer to men, but to make their requests known to God. He taught them that the prayer which God accepts is the simple, earnest petition from a soul that feels its need. And then Review and Herald, May 28, 1895. If we would offer up acceptable prayer, we should realize that in our petitioning, we are in the audience chamber of the Most High. We should cultivate solemn thoughts, realizing that we are coming into close connection with our Creator. It means much to pray to our Heavenly Father. We come to lay our imperfect tribute of thanksgiving at His feet in acknowledgement of His love and mercy, of which we are wholly undeserving. We come to make known our wants, to confess our sins, and present to Him His own promises. He says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive them our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let me ask you a question. After reading that one quote, if you didn't know anything else, would you think that you would really be gaining an audience with God if you just started saying, I love Jesus, I love Jesus, I love Jesus, I love Jesus? Did you hear what she just told us? Should it be encompassed in a prayer? That is a deep, heartfelt prayer that was lifted up. A prayer that recognizes God's majesty and power. A prayer that recognizes our own deficiency and need, and that we have sins that need to be confessed so that the God of heaven can forgive and cleanse from all unrighteousness. My brothers and sisters, when we go into the act of prayer, when we go into communion with the God of the universe, and we are now told that because of Jesus, we can go boldly before that throne, we go boldly, but we go in humility. We go humbly before the throne of God because we realize that we are not worthy to stand in His presence. But because of Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, because of Jesus, we have the privilege to go before the throne of the universe. Do you ever think about how powerful that is? That when you pray, you're not just praying to the ceiling, you're praying to the God that's in control of everything that you've ever known and far beyond that. Can you imagine what His universe is really like? Oh, we've got pictures of stars that are so many million light years away, but that's just a tiny portion of God's universe and great expanse. And the Bible tells us that He holds them all up by the power of His hand. That's who we are in audience with when we pray. And that same God wants to be our friend. That's so mind-boggling, sometimes I can't even get it. The God of that great universe, I'm such a tiny, tiny speck. Remember that How Great Is Our God video when He kept showing stars that were further and bigger away? And as He kept going further and further away, first the earth got smaller and smaller, then the sun got smaller and smaller, and then it was to where you couldn't even see the sun on the picture anymore. It was such a tiny little dark speck. And remember, the sun is like how many times bigger than the earth? It was like 100,000 times or something would fit into the sun. So imagine here we are on this little tiny speck of a planet that you can't even see when you look at a big picture. And we're so tiny on the planet that we're on. But yet, the God that created all of it wants to be our friend. He wants us to come to Him as a friend and to share with Him the burdens and the cares of our heart. My brothers and sisters, the devil is using deception through other kinds of prayers that don't fill our minds with the work and the majesty and the wonder and the power of God, but they empty our minds so that the devil can put other thoughts in there. Totally contrary to what God tells us should be in prayer. The Bible tells us in Philippians 4, verse 8, that we are to think on whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are... All through these things we are supposed to be thinking on. Does that sound like to you you should be emptying your mind? You should be filling your mind with the power of God. So here's a question. We do not enter into prayer with an open, empty mind and emptied out, but a mind full of wonderful mercy, power, and love of God, and a knowledge of our sins that need to be confessed before Him. We are to commune with Him in the very highest sense of the word. Our prayers are to be deep, thoughtful prayers, meditating on His word, His works, and His ways. Now, does real prayer include meditation? Go with me to the book of Psalms, because we need to understand what it means to meditate. We're going to look at a couple of verses quickly in the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 1 and verse 2. Psalms chapter 1 and verse 2. We're just going to look at about three verses here in Psalms, and then we're going to bring it to a close. Psalms chapter 1 and verse 2. But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His what? In His law doth He meditate day and night. Meditation is important, but meditation doesn't mean a mindless wandering, empty in our mind. It means filling our mind with things that are productive, powerful, and good in our lives. We meditate upon the Word of God, and we hide it in our heart. Remember, David said, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee." How about Psalm 63 and verse 6? Psalm 63 and verse 6. This is one that's really powerful for me. How many of us do this at night so many times? Psalm 63 and verse 6, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate upon thee in the night watches. How many times have you had your prayer, jumped into bed, but then as you're laying there in bed, your mind begins to think about how good God is to you, about how God is so powerful and the things he's blessed you with, and you meditate upon his works, upon his ways, and upon his word. One more, Psalms 119. Psalms 119 and verse 15. Psalms 119 and verse 15. Psalmist says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Meditate on thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Inspiration says this in Signs of the Times, February 12, 1894. We are to contemplate the character of Christ. We are to meditate upon the cross of Calvary. For it is the unanswerable argument of Christianity. The message we are to bear to the impenitent, the warning we are to give to the backslider is, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Those who bring the message to the soul may turn aside from the truth, but he who would be saved must keep his eye on Jesus. You see, there is only one way, my friends. By beholding Christ, he will learn to hate sin that has brought to his Redeemer suffering and death. By beholding, his faith is made strong, and he comes to know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. The sinner sees Jesus as he is, full of compassion and tender love, and by beholding the manifestation of his great love toward fallen man in his sufferings of Calvary, he is transformed in character. You see, God wants to transform us, and God is using the power of prayer for us to be able to connect with him. Look at one more verse as we come to a close. Second Chronicles, chapter 7, and verse 14. 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14. Many of us are familiar with this verse. The Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. This morning, my brothers and sisters, how is your prayer life? Seriously, how is your prayer life? Are you just one of those that just gets those quick little prayers in before you drive, before you eat? Or do you really have a connection with your Heavenly Father? The psalmist said, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Remember, prayer is the breath of the soul. Everything truly does begin with prayer. How about you today? Are you spiritually alive, or are you hardly breathing? There was a story of a little boy who, when asked by his pastor if he prayed every day, the little boy said, well, not every day. I don't want something every day. And you know, the reality is that's the way many of us pray. We only come to God when we want something. When I need something, then I'll come to God. We don't come to God when everything seems to be going okay. But we need to make sure that we never lose that connection. When you look at the life of Jesus, you see that Jesus was continually in connection with his Heavenly Father. He never lost that connection. He is our true example. So my question for you today is, do you have real communion with God, real fellowship with him? I challenge you today, as the disciples did, ask Jesus to teach you how to pray. Seek him with all your heart. Contemplate his mighty works and meditate upon his ways. Fill your mind with the word of God. Do not be misled by the new views of prayer, which are really old error and paganistic ways brought around for the second time. Brothers and sisters, God has ordained and given us the method of prayer. And that method is to be able to go directly to the throne of the universe and to, in an intelligent way, seek his will, confess our sins, lift up our petitions before him, and strive to live our lives according to his will and purpose for us. Everything truly does begin with prayer. As we close, I want to share One of my favorite songs with you that that I put on a CD many years ago, and it's called Teach Us to Pray. And as you listen to the words of the song, I want you to think about your own experience and your own prayer life. I want you to ask the question as you listen to the words of the song, am I really growing in my prayer life with God? Or am I in one of those stagnant places where in reality I'm not growing closer, I'm actually growing further away? Listen to the words of the song and consider those things. Teach me to pray. I want to walk with you more every day. Inside my heart I ask, what more can I do? Then from your word I read, I must give my heart to you. Sometimes down on my knees, I come to you in prayer. But when I start to speak, the words, they just aren't there. Where am I going wrong? Please show me that you care. Then speaks a still small voice, I need all your heart in prayer. Prayer is the very breath of the soul. Prayer is the key in the hand of faith that unlocks heaven's storehouse. What a wonder it is that we pray and seek God so little. How is your prayer life today? Sometimes down on my knees, I come to you in prayer. But when I start to speak, the words, they just aren't there. Where am I going wrong? Please show me that you care. Then speaks a still small voice, I need all your heart in prayer. Teach me to talk with you, Lord, teach me to pray. Let's kneel together as we close. Our loving Heavenly Father, once again we kneel before you as we close this service today. And Lord, we just ask that you would be in our day-to-day lives, that we would understand that there are deceptions in the world and the devil is using every angle that he can to lead even the very elect astray. Lord, we pray that we would study to know these things for ourselves, that we would not be walking off on the path that we should be on. That we would stay close to you, that we would develop that prayer life that will lead to life everlasting. And Lord, I pray for each one in this room. You know the trials and the struggles. Help us all to realize how much stronger we would become if we became a people of prayer. And I pray that you would be with each one as they make a determination in their hearts this morning to improve their prayer life, to walk in a closer connection with you. And now, Lord, before we go next door and to enjoy physical food, we ask that you would bless the food. We thank you for the blessing of food and for providing for our needs. We ask that you would bless it, that it would nourish and strengthen our bodies, that you would bless our fellowship together as we continue on enjoying this beautiful Sabbath day. Thank you for the bounties of life. Thank you that even in the times in which we live, we still have much to be thankful for and praise your name. Because we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.